Ever think what would happen if, like, nobody gave to charity anymore?
Like, just stopped.
Yeah, like, poof, give them just vanished.
Interesting.
Well, that's exactly what this book, The Generosity Crisis, digs into.
Yeah.
And get this, it's not just some, like, boring research paper or something. This thing actually won
It's been
awards.
making some waves, and I think what makes it so interesting is it doesn't just like lay out the whole potential crisis, but it really gets into the why.
Totally. And they start off with this thought experiment. I mean, it's brilliant, but also kind of scary at the same time. Like, what if there was no giving? What would that even look like?
Yeah, they paint a pretty stark picture, like just in our healthcare system alone.
I mean, can you imagine?
Thousands of these nonprofit hospitals would have to shut down. You'd have huge lines for people to get even just basic care. Medical research would probably come to a screeching halt.
It's like dystopian novel material. And, they really bring it home by connecting it to our own experiences. Like, have you ever been to a nonprofit hospital or volunteered at some fundraising event for a health-related cause?
Yeah, that's what we stand to lose.
Exactly.
And it's not just healthcare either.
Oh,
Think
yeah.
about all the museums and theaters we love, the historical places we visit. I mean, without people supporting them, a lot of that could just vanish.
Seriously.
Yeah, and the book talks about how we could end up with these like priceless artifacts being auctioned off because there's just no money to take care of them.
Wow. That's kind of crazy to think about. It really makes you realize how much we take for granted.
And the authors really drive home that point. That a lot of what we enjoy, the arts, culture, even history, really depends on people being
Okay,
generous.
so that's the doom and gloom part. But the book doesn't just stop there, does it?
No.
It also tackles some common myths about generosity, like this whole idea that philanthropy is a new thing.
Right. And that's where the book gets really interesting. It challenges these assumptions we all have, like, yeah, philanthropy has been around forever, since ancient times, even.
So it's not just like a modern invention.
No, not at all. Like, even think about Ben Franklin's lending library back in the 1700s.
Oh, right.
He knew that access to knowledge shouldn't just be for rich people, so he created a way for people to pool their resources to build a library that everyone could use.
Wow, that's a great example.
It was philanthropy in action.
So this whole idea of like collective action for the greater good, that has deep roots. What other myths does the book debunk?
Well, there's that common one that young people aren't charitable, but there's a lot of data out there showing millennials and Gen Z are actually quite generous. They might not be writing big checks, but they're giving back in different ways, volunteering their time, donating to those online crowdfunding campaigns.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which kind of reminds me that giving isn't just about money.
Right,
The
exactly.
book even pushes us to think about what we can offer besides just money.
Like our skills, our time, our passions. You know, find ways to contribute to the causes we care about.
For sure. Another myth I hear a lot is that nonprofits are wasteful or ineffective. Does the book address that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They acknowledge that nonprofits face challenges like any organization, but the book argues that most of them are working really hard to make a difference. They often have to work with very limited resources, but are super dedicated to their mission.
So they're pushing back against those negative stereotypes.
Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't just debunk those myths, it actually digs deeper and tries to figure out the reasons behind this so-called generosity crisis. Like even looking at things like how changes in the tax code might have actually made it less appealing for some people to give to charity.
Wait, so you're saying even something like tax law can impact generosity?
It can. Like the book goes into detail about these changes, even though they weren't designed to discourage giving. It may have been unintentional, but they had a real impact.
Like what kind of changes?
Well, for one, the increase in the standard deduction. It may have had a bigger impact on people with lower and middle incomes who might not itemize their deductions, so they aren't getting that tax break for donating anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's a good point. And the book also gets into the rise of these donor-advised funds, or DDEFs. Basically, it's an account that lets people make donations and get the tax deduction right away, but they can actually give that money to nonprofits later on.
So it's kind of like a savings account for charity.
Yeah, that's one way to think about it. And while there are some upsides, like it makes giving easier, donors can be strategic with their giving, the book also asks some tough questions about how they're changing the way money flows to nonprofits.
Some possible downsides too.
Like, since donors can hold on to that money in their DAFs for a while, some worry that it's slowing down the flow of money to nonprofits. You know, it might not be reaching them as quickly as it did in the past.
It's crazy how something that was supposed to make things easier can have these ripple effects.
That's what I love about this book. It really explores the nuances of these issues. It makes us think critically about the whole system of philanthropy.
So we've got tax code changes, these DAFs. What else is contributing to this generosity crisis?
Well, the book also points to the sheer number of nonprofits out there and the constant appeals for donations.
Oh, man, I know. It's like my email inbox. It's overwhelming.
Right. And they argue that this can lead to something called donor fatigue, where people just tune out.
It's like you get paralyzed by all the choices.
Totally. And here's where technology, while it seems like a solution, can also be part of the problem.
Really? How so?
Well, it's made it easier than ever to donate online, you know, through platforms and social media. But it can also create this distance between donors and the causes they care about. It becomes a very click, donate, and move on type of thing.
So we're losing that personal connection.
Yeah, and that can really undermine the deeper reasons why people give in the first place. That empathy, compassion, and sense of shared humanity.
We're trading depth for efficiency. Okay, so we've got these external factors like the taxes, the sheer number of organizations. But the book also mentions something much deeper, a decline in trust.
Right, and this is where the generosity crisis really hits the core issue. It's not just about systems or money. It's about how we relate to institutions, to each other, to the whole idea of giving itself.
So like a crisis of connection.
Exactly. And the book tackles this through several different lenses. For one, it looks at the role of billionaires and philanthrocapitalism. You know how wealthy donors like Mark Zuckerberg are doing their giving through things like the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which is set up as an LLC?
Right.
Well, it's sparked a lot of debate about transparency and accountability in philanthropy.
It's like the book is urging us to really think critically about these different ways of giving and whether they're actually doing good or not.
Right. And they also delve into these high-profile scandals and failures that have happened in the nonprofit world, which obviously erodes trust.
It's hard to be generous when you're worried your money is going to be wasted.
Definitely. And the book connects this back to us, asking us to think about our own trust in institutions. Have you ever hesitated to give to a charity because you weren't sure how effective they were or how transparent they were?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I think we've all had those moments of doubt.
Absolutely. And the book goes even further and brings up this idea called the continental connection drift. It's this idea that even though we're more connected than ever through technology, we're actually becoming more isolated from each other.
So like physically closer, but emotionally farther apart.
Exactly. And they argue that this growing sense of isolation, of being atomized, has a huge impact on generosity. When we lose touch with our communities, with a shared purpose, it's harder to find those deeper motivations for giving.
It's like we're losing that feeling of responsibility for each other, that sense that we're all in this together.
Right. And the book asks this really powerful question. If we're drifting further apart from each other, can we really be truly generous?
That's a really good question. And it seems like that sets the stage for how the book explores possible solutions to this whole crisis.
Yes, and that's where the generosity crisis starts to offer some hope and presents this really interesting vision for how we can rebuild trust, connect with each other, and ultimately create a more generous world.
Okay, so we've got this potential crisis, busted some myths, even looked at why giving might be declining. But the book doesn't just leave us hanging there, does it?
No, it offers a solution.
And it's not just some cheesy, easy answer.
Not at all. They call it radical connection. And it's basically going beyond those surface level transactional interactions we have with nonprofits and really focusing on building those deep, meaningful relationships.
Okay. Radical connection sounds intense. So what does that look like?
It means getting away from sending mass emails begging for money and instead really trying to connect with donors on a personal level.
So understand their values.
Yes. Understand their motivations. Find out how to align those with the organization's mission.
Creating that sense of shared purpose like we talked about.
Exactly. And the book gives some really cool examples of how this works. Like they share these stories of people who formed these incredibly strong bonds with organizations. And it's not just because they're donating a lot. It's because they feel deeply connected to what that organization is doing and the people involved.
Finding those organizations that really speak to you on a deeper level where you feel like you're making a real difference.
Exactly. And it's not just about feeling good either. The book says these connections are vital for keeping generosity going. When people feel like they're part of something bigger, when they can see the impact of what they're giving, they're more likely to stay involved.
So it's about building a community around a cause, mm-hmm. not just treating donors like walking wallets.
Exactly. And even technology, which we talked about being part of the problem, can be a really powerful tool for fostering these deeper connections.
Now, that's interesting. So how can we use tech to make giving less transactional and more personal?
The book talks about how AI can actually be used to personalize outreach to donors. Like, imagine instead of getting those generic fundraising emails, you got a message that was tailored to your interests.
And your values.
Yeah, and maybe highlighting how your specific skills could help the organization.
That would definitely make me pay attention. It's like the difference between a mass-produced holiday card and a handwritten note from a friend.
Exactly. And the book also emphasizes the power of stories. Using narratives to create that emotional connection for donors.
Oh, I'm all about a good story. Like those commercials that show a child whose life has been changed by a charity gets me every time.
Exactly. And the book suggests that nonprofits can use those powerful stories to create more compelling appeals, to really show donors how their support is changing lives.
So move beyond just numbers and stats and really connect with them emotionally.
Absolutely. And it's about being transparent, too. Accountability is huge. Nonprofits need to be upfront about their challenges, their successes, how they're using the donations.
So building trust through honesty.
Right. When donors see that they're being kept in the loop, that their money is being used well, they're going to feel more confident about giving.
It's like any relationship, trust is key.
Absolutely. And the book also talks about focusing on shared values and legacy. Helping donors see how their support can have a lasting impact, how they can be part of something bigger than themselves.
I think a lot of people want to leave a mark on the world, contribute to something that will continue after they're gone.
Exactly. And the book suggests that nonprofits can tap into that by highlighting the long-term impact of their work, how they're working towards a better future for everyone.
So it's connecting individual generosity to this bigger story of progress.
Exactly. And finally, the book talks about how businesses can play a bigger role in fostering this radical connection culture.
So not just companies donating to charity, but being more actively involved.
Right. They could partner with nonprofits in more meaningful ways, offering not just money, but their skills, expertise, networks, even their platforms to help amplify the impact of that nonprofit's work.
So it's about going beyond those token corporate social responsibility gestures and really embedding generosity into the company's core.
Absolutely. And the book argues that this kind of authentic, purpose-driven approach benefits both the company and the causes they're supporting.
So everyone wins.
Right. And that's what's so cool about this whole radical connection idea. It's not just about fixing what's broken. It's about creating a more generous world, where everyone, individuals, nonprofits, corporations, are all working together to make things better.
It's a pretty inspiring vision. It makes me wonder, are there any examples of organizations already doing this?
Actually, yeah. The book highlights several. One is the FarmLink Project. It's actually a group of college students who saw this problem during the pandemic, all this food going to waste while people were struggling with food insecurity, and they did something about it.
So they saw a need and took action.
Yeah. They built this platform that connects farmers with food banks, rescuing millions of pounds of produce that would have otherwise been thrown away. And what's really interesting is how they built this whole network of volunteers who are all passionate about fighting food waste and hunger.
It's like a movement powered by technology to connect people and resources in a meaningful way.
Exactly. And the book talks about how this kind of grassroots activism fueled by passion and innovation can really drive change.
It's pretty inspiring to see young people stepping up and making a difference like that.
Another great example is Illumina. It's a company that uses really advanced technology to sequence the human genome.
Okay, but what does that have to do with generosity? It sounds pretty scientific, not exactly warm and fuzzy.
Right, but here's the thing. Illumina isn't just about making money. They're dedicated to using their expertise to improve healthcare and solve global health problems.
So they're using their technology for good.
Exactly. And they have this program called Future is Bright, where they're investing in the next generation of scientists, especially those from underrepresented communities. They provide scholarships, mentorship, research opportunities, basically creating pathways for diverse talent to get into the field of genomics.
So they're building a pipeline for the future innovators.
Exactly. And it's a great example of how a corporation can use its resources and expertise to make a real difference. It's not just about donating money. It's about investing in people and creating opportunities.
A more holistic approach to giving back.
Absolutely. And the book also talks about this family foundation called the Raskob Foundation. They've been around since 1945 and have this amazing legacy of giving to tons of causes, from education to healthcare to social justice.
Wow, generations of giving.
And what's so cool is how they figured out how to get multiple generations involved so that legacy keeps going. They have family meetings, get younger family members involved in deciding where the money goes, and even match their grandkids' charitable donations.
So creating a whole culture of giving within their family, passing it on to the next generation.
Exactly. And their story really shows the power of family values and that deep commitment to making a difference.
It's really inspiring to see how family foundations can have such a big impact.
Now, Bristol-Myers Squibb Foundation is another one that stood out to me. Their program, Secure the Future, has been a big deal in fighting the HIV/AIDS epidemic in sub-Saharan Africa.
It's amazing how far we've come with HIV/AIDS, but there's still so much to do, especially in areas with limited resources.
Definitely. And Bristol-Myers Squibb Foundation did something really innovative. They focused on getting the community involved and building trust with local partners. They didn't just impose a solution from the top down. They worked with communities to come up with programs that were culturally sensitive and sustainable.
So they understood the importance of local knowledge.
Exactly. And the program's been hugely successful, providing access to HIV testing and treatment, supporting orphans and vulnerable children, and strengthening those local healthcare systems.
It's amazing what a corporation can do when they use their resources like that to make a difference on a global scale.
And then you have Comet Relief US. They've managed to bring humor and giving together in a way that's both entertaining and impactful.
Oh yeah, the red noses.
Right. Their Red Nose Day campaign is a perfect example of how to get people engaged in a fun, lighthearted way. They raise millions of dollars for all kinds of causes. They partner with media companies, celebrities, and even other corporations to create this huge event all about giving back.
It's like they've made generosity contagious, spreading the joy of giving through laughter and entertainment.
Exactly. And they've done a phenomenal job raising awareness and funds for everything from child poverty to homelessness to education inequality.
It's really cool how they've used pop culture to make a positive impact.
And that's one of the key takeaways from the book, isn't it? Generosity doesn't have to be this serious, self-sacrificing thing. It can be joyful, fun, a way to connect with people and make a difference.
Totally. The generosity crisis doesn't shy away from the problems, but it also gives us hope. Mm-hmm. It reminds us we all have the power to change things, whether it's our time, our skills, or our money.
One of the most important questions the book asks is, what are you radically connected to? What cause speaks to you? What skills and talents do you have to offer? It's about finding that thing that ignites your passion and using it to make a positive impact.
It's about taking that first step, whether that's volunteering, donating, or even just having a conversation with someone about the importance of giving back.
And remember, generosity is contagious. When we act generously, it inspires others to do the same. It creates this ripple effect that can spread far and wide.
It's pretty amazing to see all these different examples of radical connection in action, from those student-led efforts to these huge global corporations.
Yeah, it really shows that it can work at any level, with any budget. It's really about changing the way we think about giving.
Absolutely. And the book does a great job highlighting the different ways these organizations are doing it, like Comic Relief US, using humor and entertainment to reach people.
They've kind of figured out how to make generosity trendy.
Right. And that Red Nose Day campaign is such a great example of how to create a movement around giving back. They've even got social media involved.
And it seems like those partnerships with big companies like Walgreens are working, makes giving feel more like a party than a chore.
Exactly. And the book also mentions charity. Water, they've been really successful with using storytelling and transparency.
Yeah, they actually let donors see exactly where their money is going and how it's helping bring clean water to people.
So donors can see the impact firsthand.
Right. And that kind of transparency builds trust and also makes people feel more connected and involved.
So it's more than just giving money. It's about being a part of the solution.
Exactly. And I think that's the heart of what the generosity crisis is trying to say. It's a call to action for all of us, whether we're individuals, nonprofits, or big businesses.
To embrace this radical connection idea.
Yeah, move beyond those transactional donations and really make generosity a part of everything we do.
I think what's so cool about this book is that it doesn't just point out the problems. It actually offers a way forward, a way to create a better future. It reminds us that we all have the power to make a difference.
And it does a fantastic job of explaining these complicated ideas in a way that anyone can understand. It's not just for experts. It's for anyone who wants to make the world a better place.
So if someone wanted to learn more, where would you suggest they start?
The book itself is a great place to begin. You can find The Generosity Crisis on Amazon. It's full of great stories and practical advice, whether you're an individual, work for a nonprofit, or even a big company.
Awesome. And it sounds like it's a really good read, not just some boring textbook.
Oh, definitely. Right. It's full of interesting stories, insights that'll make you think, and it leaves you feeling hopeful about the future of giving.
That's great to hear. Well, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your expertise with us today. I feel like I understand this whole issue so much better now, and I'm feeling really inspired by all the positive things that are happening.
Thanks for having me. I always love these conversations, and I hope our listeners got as much out of it as I did.
That's it for this deep dive. We'll be back next time with another deep dive into all sorts of interesting ideas and stories. Until then, stay curious, stay engaged, and stay generous.